Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come as the light and teach. Come as the wind and cleanse. Come as the fire and burn. Convict, convert, and consecrate until we are wholly thine. Amen. In the Episcopal Church, we don't choose what scriptures we're going to use on any given Sunday. They're part of a lectionary that are given to us that have been planned in advance and is repeated every few years. So it's by the grace of God that we have a parable to do with nature today. When I was in Japan in the cherry blossom season, part of celebrating cherry blossom was writing haikus, haiku poems. And haiku poems were always either about cherry blossoms or nature or spring. But celebrating nature was very much a part of what we were about when the cherry blossoms were blooming. And today we're talking about a parable that talks about following the natural order. It is the natural thing for a fig tree to produce figs. Just as one would think that it's the natural thing for cherry blossom trees to produce cherry blossoms, I tell you, having learned in Macon now for 2 years, that is not always the case. They were much more reliable in Japan than they are in our climate here, where they can be sometimes a little stressed. So consider yourselves especially blessed to have them in full bloom this year. It is in your honor that they are being rolled out in all their glory. So in Jesus' parable of the fig tree, it's talking about how just as it is the natural thing for fig trees to bear figs, it is the natural thing for Christians who are living for the Lord to bear fruit for the Lord. And more about that in a minute. I'd like to talk to you as an example about someone that is likely to be familiar to everyone because his writings are read across the world. C.S. Lewis is a Christian who was particularly fruitful in his life, and he wrote in a way that reached out to the common person. He writes in a way that is received by all denominations across conservative and liberal lines alike. He has a way of reaching into the heart of all of us and speaking to what it is that we struggle with in our walk with the Lord. But C.S. Lewis was not always living a life that was bearing fruit for God. And so I'd like to talk with you about some of the challenges that he faced, and also about how so much of his fruitfulness came out of his conviction to live his life for the Lord and to honor God in all that he did. Lewis hated school. Ironic for someone who ended up a college professor. But he had a miserable childhood growing up in a boarding school with a schoolmaster that was so cruel, he was literally declared legally insane shortly after Lewis graduated. It scarred him for life and took 50 years for him to be able to fully forgive his schoolmaster for the cruelty that he endured under his leadership. He was never good at math, and he struggled to manage his money. He couldn't do it. He didn't care about his clothes. It was said that in the second wearing, he made a brand new suit look old. He never learned to write, to use a typewriter. He always wrote with pen and ink, and this was back when ink was in an inkwell and you dipped your pen. He never carried a watch. He never learned to drive a car. As a young man, he was an atheist, prideful and sarcastic, brilliant even by Oxford standards, and hardened by his time as a soldier fighting in World War I. He became a professor at Oxford, which could very well have kept him shut into a private, exclusive world with academia perpetuating the attitudes that he had as a young man. But he began seeking after the truth, and he began seeking meaning and purpose in life, and his course began to change. Lewis describes his conversion saying, "That which I greatly feared had at last come upon me. In the Trinity term of 1929, I gave in and admitted that God was God, and knelt and prayed. Perhaps that night, the most dejected and reluctant convert in all of England." Not long after that, he came to Christ and wholeheartedly embraced the Christian faith, committing his life to serving Jesus Christ as Lord. One of the first fruits of his conversion was generosity. From his study of scriptures, he concluded that it is truly more blessed to give than to receive. So he increasingly put this into practice in his life. He was generous with his time, his home, and his money. While continuing to work full-time as a college professor, he took care of the mother of a fellow soldier who he had promised to care for his family, as his friend had promised for him, if either didn't survive the war. His friend died in the war, and so true to his word, C.S. Lewis cared for her for the next 30 years of her life in his own home, until she died. He answered all of his mail with personal letters, many or even most of which were to people he'd never met before who were writing him as fan mail. He wrote 30 books, mostly in his spare time, giving 2/3 of all the proceeds from his books to charity. He only scaled back from 100% when he realized he couldn't afford to pay the taxes on the money he was giving away. He was kind and compassionate. It hadn't always been true of him, but it had been after the Lord had done a work in his heart, living out the faith he professed with a fruitfulness that could only be made possible by the Holy Spirit at work in him. He believed when we do what we do, humbly before the Lord, and as an offering to the Lord, it will be fruitful. In our reading from the Gospel of Luke today, Jesus tells a parable of the fig tree. It's at the end of an extended series of teachings on preparing for the time of judgment, on being ready for that day when we will come before the Lord and have to be accountable for what we have done with our lives. The tree in the parable has been given what it needs to bear fruit. It's not borne fruit for 3 years, which was time enough to reach maturity for a fig tree to bear figs. But it's only producing leaves. It's using all of the resources that it's being given for its own purposes, simply growing and producing leaves rather than for bearing figs, the purpose for which it was made, the way a fig tree gives back. Rather than cut it down immediately, the tree is given a second chance and more fertilizer is put around it to give it every opportunity to bear fruit. If it is still producing nothing, nothing but leaves, it will be cut down. The fate of this tree is a warning to us not to live merely for our own purposes, not to live self-indulgent lifestyles as we are so easily tempted to do in this country where we expect to be always comfortable. We're called to bear fruit worthy of repentance, as a witness to Christ within us and in response to the grace and forgiveness we have received in him. if we're producing only leaves, if we're living those self-indulgent lifestyles, living only for me, for our own purposes, rather than seeking to give of ourselves as an offering to God, we too will come under the same judgment as the fig tree. If we have truly received the gift of salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, it is only natural that we would want to follow his example and feed the hungry, heal the sick, care for the poor, and share the message of the gospel with others. It is every bit as natural as for a fig tree to produce figs. As we grow in our lives, in our faith, it naturally happens that we become more fruitful the more mature we become in our faith. Just as a fig tree produces figs, a Christian can be expected to bear fruit for the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. These qualities are also manifest in the generosity of our time, talent, and treasure. The more fully we commit ourselves to the Lord, living our lives as an offering to him, Paul says he lives as a drink offering poured out to the Lord, the more fruit we bear for his glory. C.S. Lewis drew inspiration for many of his books from the experiences that he had because of his generosity in his commitment to the Lord, especially with his home outside of Oxford. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which you may remember, began once there were four children whose names were Peter, Susan, Edmund, and Lucy. This story is about something that happened to them when they were sent away from London during the war because of the air raids. They were sent to the house of an old professor who lived in the heart of the country. He had no wife, and he lived in a very large house with a housekeeper and three servants. In reality, the old professor was C.S. Lewis himself, who opened his home to many children during the air raids of World War II. Joy Davidson, who would eventually become the love of his life and inspired at least two of the books that he wrote, Surprised by Joy and A Grief Observed, was at first just an unknown American single mother with her two sons in need of a place to stay when he took her in out of the kindness of his heart. We can't all be expected to produce fruit in our lives on the level of C.S. Lewis. We are only held accountable for a fruitfulness that fits the resources and the personal gifts that we have been given. When we offer up all that we are and all that we have in service to the Lord and in gratitude for the life within us, we bear fruit that glorifies God and blesses others. During Lent, we seek to be more intentional about directing our focus to God and increasing our commitment to living out our faith in our lives. We seek to be more spiritually disciplined in our personal practice of faith, preparing for that day when we will celebrate the coming of Jesus' resurrection. We begin each Sunday worship service during Lent as a reminder of this need to be more spiritually disciplined with the confession, recognizing the need to remove any sin, any obstacles out of the way to make way for Christ to work within us so that we might be able to bear fruit worthy of repentance, fruit that bears witness to his love at work in us, transforming us into the person he created us to be. The fertilizer that he puts around us is his word, so that we might bear more fruit being fed by the Word of God. We can take heart that it is never too late to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Remember, Moses began his purpose, began the work that the Lord called him to do when he was 80 years old. He thought he was settling down to a quiet life in the desert with his family, but God had other plans. The quiet introspection of Lent is designed to make room in our lives to serve God more faithfully, to seek to let go of those things that are distractions for us or that give the world a foothold in us. It encourages us to adjust our priorities once again, to live more fully for the Lord and to hunger after God. C.S. Lewis said, "All that is not eternal is eternally out of date." If we want to be living lives of eternal impact, we need to give ourselves the time and intention this Lent of doing a spiritual update, asking the Lord to show us how he's calling us to bear fruit for him, what it is that we need to get out of the way to allow us to be more focused on serving the Lord and honoring him in mind, body, and spirit. Psalm 63 is the prayer of one who is seeking to be so filled with the Spirit of God that their soul would be nourished and their lives would bear fruit that bear witness to the Lord within. It is in hungering after God rather than hungering after the things of this world that we're saved from being leafy Christians, from bearing only leaves. In closing, I invite you to take out the insert in your bulletin. And once again, read with me, this time in unison, spoken, Psalm 63 as it is printed, using it as a heartfelt prayer to the Lord. O God, you are my God. Eagerly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a barren and dry land where there is no water. Therefore I have gazed upon you in your holy place, that I might behold your power and your glory. For your loving kindness is better than life itself. My lips shall give you praise. So will I bless you as long as I live and lift up my hands in your name. My soul is content as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my helper, and under the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul clings to you. Your right hand holds me fast. Amen.